actually, the scripture reading, that last scripture, should have been Psalm 37, verse 11, where it says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in an abundance of peace." Well, greetings, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, I tell you, you all must have had a hard week. But we can praise the Lord for what he has done and what he's about to do. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that I had contemplated speaking about 5 years ago. But I just never had the audacity to speak about it. Because it's about things that we all struggle with, and I've had my struggles with this very trait, so I've been reluctant to speak about it until now. The speaker who spoke last Sabbath, before he spoke, he said, "I'm afraid." I sort of feel that a little bit today. And we should always feel a little bit uncomfortable coming before God. But that's only to allow us to depend on him. So this morning I ask that you would pray for me as I try to depend on God for the message that he wants to speak to all of us this morning. Want to begin a series on the topic of the path towards meekness. That is our subject this morning. This morning we'll look at one of the Bible heroes and how God led him to the place where he developed this precious character trait, meekness. On next Sabbath, we shall look at John the Baptist and look at how God led him into experiences that revealed that he was one also who was very meek. And finally, if we have time, we'll look at how we all can receive these precious character traits through the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says meekness is a gift of the Spirit, not a gift, but a fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to try to look at those things and unpack the scriptures that relate to this topic for the next 3 weeks, and I pray that you will pray for your own souls and pray that God will find a place in your heart to further develop the quality of meekness. Before we begin, let us pray. Father in heaven, we stand before you today, not in our own strength, but in your strength. And I pray to be shut out and shut up so that you may speak. This is your hour, this is your time. Forgive us all for our sins. And Lord, we pray that you will allow the blood of Jesus to be over us today as a people, so that we might be entertained by spiritual agencies that are, so that they can have access to us in this place. Remove our folly and speak to us today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible places a high value on humility. And Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 33, says, do you have it?
Amen.
It says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." James 4:10 we read the Bible where it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The Bible places a high premium on humility. And then in verse 5 of 1 Peter, we read, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. So that is the desire of God for those who dwell in the church, that this quality should appear in our relationships with one another, in our relationships at home, our relationships on the job. The counsel is to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. So be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God places a high value on humility. So this is the state that is highly commended. The opposite of humility, of course, is arrogance, pride. But the word meekness is a little bit broader than humility. And that's what we want to focus on, meekness. They're closely linked together, but meekness has a wider meaning. The Greek word praios describes not only one who is gentle and mild, and those are the active or passive qualities, but it consists not in persons in their outward behavior only, you know, because you can act meek and you could talk meek. But it is the very disposition, an inward grace that is exercised first toward God. That's where meekness starts. It starts as an inward disposition toward God first. In which we accept his dealings with us as good without resisting or disputing. In other words, submissive first toward God. That is where we understand, where the word meekness comes from. It means to accept God's dealings with us as good without resisting or disputing. It does not struggle or fight against God. It is not weak. You know, there's a connotation that meekness means weakness, but it's furthest from the truth, because it's more than just gentleness. Because the person who is meek is not occupied with self at all. He is divested of self. And he allows the power of that fruit of the Spirit to have full sway in his life. That is why the Bible places a high commendation on those who possess this quality. For Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When we possess this quality of meekness, it is the place where God can use us. We're at a place where God has us where he wants us. We're like empty vessels. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 9, the meek he will guide in judgment. And the meek he will teach his way. Because if we're full of our own ideas and pride, then it's difficult for us to see God's way as superior to our own. So the meek he will guide. You got a difficult decision to make? Ask God to place in you the spirit of meekness. Receive with meekness, the Bible says in James 4:1, the engrafted word of God. Submit to him. Don't fight against him. Psalm 37, verse 11, our scripture reading. Associates meekness with an abundance of peace. Psalm 37. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and that's where Jesus got this from in the third beatitude. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in an abundance of peace. So to be meek is not to be stressed, not to be unhappy or disgruntled, but to be meek is to accept the conditions that God has placed around you. In other words, to be content. 1 Corinthians 4:21. We're just going through the Bible a little bit this morning. 1 Corinthians 4:21. He says, "What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" So meekness is the opposite of violence. It is the opposite of a rash temper. Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and with all meekness, with longsuffering and forbearing one another in love." So there we have meekness. It is the opposite of temper and unloveliness. It is the call to God that we have in our relationships, the quality of meekness. And Galatians tells us it is a fruit of the Spirit. And like any fruit, it has potential for constant development. How many want meekness this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we want to look at a character in the Bible in whom this trait was developed to a great extent. Turn with me to Numbers, the 12th chapter, verse 3. The book of Numbers. And we read in verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which are upon the face of the earth." This man Moses was the meekest man on the earth. No wonder God could use him so greatly. How is it that he was the meekest man on the earth? Well, this statement is given under inspiration by God, and it's sandwiched between several incidents in which this quality in Moses stands out in bold relief. We have in verse 29, we have an incident. And you go back up to verse 27. Moses had just appointed the 70 elders. And there ran up a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My Lord, forbid them." In other words, Moses, there's some other men that are trying to take your place. Now, what these young men didn't understand was that the Holy Spirit fell on these other men, and they began to prophesy. And they weren't prophesying in the tabernacle. They were prophesying in the camp where the people was. "These people are stealing your influence, Moses. Moses, what do you have to say about that? Do you want us to forbid them, shut their mouths?" But Moses says, as he reveals this precious quality, he says, "Enviest thou for my sake? You think you're helping me?" He says, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord put his spirit upon them." So Moses had developed this trait where he rose above envy and jealousy. He claims no credit for himself. In other words, he wants to spread, you know, the credit. He was risen, he rose above jealousy. And again, we find his meekness tested when he is accosted by the people. You know, he left Egypt with over 600,000 people marching through the Dead Sea. And among those 600,000, there was a mixed multitude. In other words, they were Egyptians. And there was a cry that was made and a complaint that came before Moses. And they wanted the food. If you back up to chapter 11, you read all of chapter 11, the whole story is there. The people cried unto Moses, verse 2, and prayed unto the Lord. And it says the mixed multitude was among them and fell a-lusting. And he says, we remember the fish and the did eat the Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics, but our soul is dried away and there is nothing besides all this manna before our eyes. Now, God had miraculously performed the dropping of manna into the camp every day. But they began to complain to Moses, and God had a purpose in giving them manna because he wanted to prepare them for entrance into the promised land. So he gave them manna. And so when they complained to Moses, they were actually complaining to God because God gave the manna. He wanted to remove them away from the flesh food so that they would be able to control and bring their appetites into subjection. Because once their appetites were into subjection, and then their carnal natures and their sensual desires would be more in check. God had a purpose for their discipline. But they refused it. And they complained to Moses, and Moses was about to give up because he was just tired of the complaining. But he took the matter to God. And if you notice, Moses prays and he leaves the matter in God's hand. He doesn't take the matter in his own hands. He leaves it with God. But notice also in his leadership, when his own comrades, his second in command, are now conspiring against him. And the question is asked in chapter 12. And let me back up verse 1. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So these people who were highly favored by God, Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was no, you know, I mean, she was someone who was highly used by God. Even as a little girl, she demonstrated tact and wisdom and self-control. When she saw the basket floating in the Nile, she knew just when to speak to the princess. She knew how to be used by God. She knew how to be emptied and help to deliver or to save the life of the deliverer, Moses. This same Miriam was so richly endowed with gifts of poetry and music that when the Israelites passed through the Red Sea, the Holy Spirit fell upon her and she was able to compose on sight a hymn that commemorated their crossing over. She was blessed also, and also was Aaron, blessed with the prophetic gifts. But as high as they were in terms of their leadership levels, they still were subject to jealousy and envy and self exaltation. You see, what happened was Moses did not ask or consult with Aaron and Miriam about the anointing, appointing the 70. And they felt that they should have been consulted about that. you know. But Moses went to Jethro, his wife's father, and that's where the wife comes in. But the Bible says that they were upset that he had married an Ethiopian woman. This woman was a worshiper of the true God, even though she was from Ethiopia. There was no problem with that, but that was used as a pretext to find fault with Moses. The real issue had to do with you did not consult us. But Moses was above all of this. He was granted divine wisdom above every human being on the face of the earth. You know, the measure of character really depends on what happens when you get leadership. You know, that's the measure. It is not the cup that is low that is hard to carry, but it is the cup that is almost full that's the most difficult to carry. He was granted divine wisdom over every human being on the face of the earth because of this one quality, meekness. And he met with patience, unbelief, pride. People were conspiring against him. He was patient. Verse 5 says, the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood before the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. They're surprised because they feel that they're doing right. And he said, and the Lord said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. And I've done that with both of you. Verse 7, but my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. And with him I speak mouth to mouth. So don't place yourself in a category with Moses. Don't be envious of him, because we just got a different kind of relationship, and it's all coming out right now. Because you're demonstrating qualities that are not in harmony with the kind of leadership that I'm looking for. And they said, has God not spoken only by Moses? But yet God had spoken to Moses. And he says, I deal with him face to face. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed off of the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now, you notice the judgment fell on Miriam, because Miriam was the one who instigated this whole thing. It says, and Aaron spake against Moses. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Hath he not only spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and they came out. But it was all instigated by Miriam. And Aaron, typical to true form, joined in with it the same way he joined in with the golden calf incident. Aaron was a great leader. He was a mouthpiece for God, prophet. But he was not beyond, you know, these qualities that are of the world. God used Moses because he was teachable, he was humble, and he was meek. Moses was not always meek. If you back up to Exodus 2:11, you think Moses was born meek? Exodus 2:11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens and spied the Egyptian smiting the Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way, and he looked that way. And then he saw there was no man, and he slew the Egyptian and did hit him in the sand. Now, you think Moses would at least would have talked to the brother. You know, that's meekness, right? But Moses looked this way to see who wasn't looking. And he says, you have affronted my brother. I'm putting you in the sand. And he killed the man, buried him in the sand. That's how meek Moses was. It was no time for discussion. You cross the line, I'm through with you. That was Moses. But let me tell you something. Moses learned how to put things in the Lord's hand. Amen. He learned and understood that when people conspire against you and your enemies come upon you, he learned that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Because if Moses was the same way here in chapter 2 of Exodus, if he was that way by the time they've already crossed over, Moses, at the first incidence of complaining, Moses would have wiped them all out. Cut their heads off. I don't want to hear it. But he was different. Something happened to Moses. He had spent 40 years in the desert as a shepherd. He had learned to be meek. And he learned that it's not about you, Moses. It's about God. Amen. That's where the emptying of self came in. You could say whatever you wanted to say about Moses, but Moses was just, what he would do, he would get down on his knees and pray. Because he was meek and he let God take care of the situation. The story is about Saddam Hussein, you know, found out that some people were trying to take over the leadership, conspiring against him. And the wife was concerned. One of the men's wives was concerned. She said, please, please don't kill my husband. He said, don't worry. You know, it's no problem. And it sounded as if he was meek. The next day, the body bag of her husband was at the front door. He took care of his enemies because he wasn't meek. Moses learned how to subordinate his life to God. The question for us this morning and the question for me this morning, are you gentle among irritations? Come on now. Are you meek when you're attacked by your enemies? Are you meek when folk or children are complaining and talking back to you? Are you meek? Do you take matters into your own hands? You know, Moses could have wiped out Aaron and Miriam. He was that kind of person, wipe you out. But he let God, he prayed, God, you're going to have to deal with this. Now, some of you looking at me and you probably think, well, you seem like a meek kind of guy, right? Maybe not. I was not always, well, let me put it this way. You never know who you're dealing with because you don't know a person's past. And when people don't say anything and are silent, thank God because the Lord is doing something in their lives, right? Amen. So never think that because a person is silent or they look this way or they don't respond this way that they're just that way naturally. No, I've not always been meek, and I've done some things that I'm ashamed of. I've acted and reacted in areas before the church, and even during the church, I'm still learning this quality of meekness. Got a phone call the other day. Somebody just went off on me. I mean, just coming with left hand and had the arguments all set. I said, whoa, have it your way, fella. You know, you can just take it and do whatever you want. Right? Quick to shut down the conversation because, you know, you crossing some lines. I got off the phone. I had to call the person back. I said, look, man, I'm sorry because, you know, let's talk about this. I realized that that old unmeek person was trying to rear his head back up. You know, the Bible says how we are to treat each other in the church. And as a witness, even outside of the church, in the book of Titus, that's right behind 2 Timothy. Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 2. To speak evil of no man. And to be no brawlers, but gentle. And that's a component of meekness. Showing all meekness unto all men. We were ourselves also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, spreading gossip on one another. I added that. But after that, the kindness of the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration of the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So when Christ saves us, there's some things that we need to just put away and allow him to wash it away from us. And impatience is one of them. See, it's not how fast you can give someone a piece of your mind that makes you a strong person in the sight of God, but it is how slow you want to give someone a piece of your mind. Yeah, I think it's Proverbs that says the one who is slow to wrath is the one that is blessed by God. It is not how impatient you are when you are done wrong, or how quick you can fly off the handle, but it is how patient you are during those times, which really reveals your kinship with your Father, which is in heaven. Moses was the meekest man on the earth, but he wasn't always that way. It was spending time with God, working with him every day, unlearning the life of the past, unlearning the habits and dispositions that he had grown accustomed to. You know, you knock a stick off my shoulder, I'm going to knock a stick off yours. Moses had to unlearn that. And we have to unlearn that. How do we handle the clerk that's rude? Do we meet it with patience or impatience? Moses was the meekest man on the earth. And even Moses, when pushed long enough and pushed hard enough, lost it. Just upon the borders of the promised land, Moses had had enough. He had enough of the complaining and had enough of the bickering. Had enough of the questioning. He only had a little bit further to go. And out of his frustration, he said, cat itself got in the way. Shall we fetch water out of this rock? And he smote the rock. When he only had to speak to the rock. The first time he said, smote the rock. The second time he said, speak to the rock. That was a symbol of Christ. Christ was smitten. But when God spoke, he arose from the grave. He destroyed the symbol of the rock. And so he was not able to enter in because of a rash temper. But I call your attention to one person who never lost it. And turn with me to the 11th chapter of Matthew. He never lost it. And he is our example. Moses was only a faint picture of what he was. But I call your attention to one who demonstrated this quality to the highest level. Matthew, the 11th chapter, the Bible says in verse 29. You have it? Say amen. Okay, that's good, because I don't have it yet. Matthew 11, 29. I got a new Bible, and the pages stick together. Come unto me, the invitation. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What do we want to learn? Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. Learn of me. And I notice that the older we get, the more meek we get. I mean, I look at my wife's mother and the things that how she deals with children. I said, man, that's amazing. But my wife told me she wasn't always that way. My wife would, my mother would take something aside your head in a minute, okay? But he said, learn of me and allow this fruit to develop in me. When you're provoked, you know, ask yourself, what would Jesus do in my situation? You know, I really used to think I was meek. And then I got married. Okay? Somebody say amen to that. I used to think I was meek. Come on. I used to really think I was meek. And then after I got married, I thought, well, I've regained meekness. Then I had children. Okay? And I said, I'm really still struggling with this thing. You know. And I thought I used to be meek in the church. You know, I wasn't meek. But then, you know, getting older, the things that test you, you find that you're not so meek. But he said, learn of me. Watch me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look at the elder. Don't look at the pastor. Keep your eyes on me and learn meekness. And ye shall have rest unto your souls. Happiness, peace. Learn of me. You see, Jesus never irritated. He's never tit for tat. He's never trying to get back at his enemies. He's about truth and justice. And inspiration tells us that in Philippians it says, and he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. He never tried to be equal with God. He didn't have to be in the limelight. He just wanted to please God. He was emptied of self. That's why he was meek. He had no plan but God's plan. In every situation, it was what God would do. What would the Father have me do? I and my Father are one. What the Father would do, that's what I would do. They cheated me out of my money, but what would the Father do in this situation? Okay? And so from the cradle to the cross, there was meekness in him, humbleness, meekness. And we find him now on the cross. And now he's tested as never before. The devil's got him where he wants him. Got him on the cross. But the devils know that if he stays on there long enough, then the plan of redemption is going to go sour. So now they got to get him back down. And they said, if you are the Son of God. You see, they pitting him on pride now. If you are, you come down. If you're big and bad, do something. If you really are who you say you are, come on down. But he stayed there. Why? Because he was not only high and holy, he was also meek and lowly. And he stayed and he died until he said, it is finished. He didn't come down. And now he's going to put the devil where it belongs. The Bible says in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm going to ask Heather and Mike to come and just share with us a message and song. And as you listen, pray to God that he will bless you more with this quality of mind.
This song is called Willow Tree. I will bow and be simple. I will bow and be free. I will bow and be humble. Yea, bend like the willow tree. I will bow and be simple. I will bow and be free. I will bow and be humble. Yea, bend like the willow tree. I will bow, this is the token. I will wear the easy yoke. I will bow and be broken. Yea, I'll fall upon the rock. I will bow, this is the token. I will wear the easy yoke. I will bow and be broken. Yea, I'll fall upon the rock. I will bow and be simple. I will bow and be free. I will bow and be humble. Yea, bend like the willow tree.
Thank you for that message. Well, we've discovered that we have a long way to become like Jesus, but it is possible because meekness first begins with our attitude toward God. That's the only way, because you can't be meek. I mean, you can be a dictator, right? Have all power and still not be humble to your subordinates. But with this precious grade, you can have power and still be humble. Right? Meekness doesn't mean you're weak. It means that you're sublimating that power for the purposes of God to be used at his disposal. So it all begins with him. And if we're meek toward God, then we can be meek with each other and allow his engrafted word to lodge in our hearts so that we can receive the guidance, you know, in life. Whether we're young or old, we all need guidance. How do we react when things go this way and that way? Some people are dying because of anger, ulcers, and, you know, all of these things because they haven't learned meekness. Always upset, always against someone because meekness is missing. But if we have meekness, we have an abundance of peace. So this morning, the appeal is for prayer. I want to just pray. If you want a closer walk with God in terms of meekness, I'm going to invite you to stand. And we want to pray for you at this time. I invite you to bow your heads. Father in heaven, you have shown us what is good, to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with our God. But sometimes, Lord, self gets in the way, and we start to look things from a human perspective. We start to act using human weapons and human plans, and Lord, we want to act like the way you did. So place your meekness. Allow that fruit to grow. Break up the fallow ground that is around it and allow, water it, O Lord, water it with the Holy Spirit right now so that meekness can characterize this church where we esteem our brother more than we ourselves. Where we're not etching for the highest place. We're not looking to be seen. We're not looking to have our way and no way. We want meekness, oh God. We want your way. So advance your agenda in our lives. Move self out of the way so that we can have this abundance of peace. And we're told, oh God, that the meek shall inherit the earth. When you come back for your kingdom and you take us to heaven, there will only be meek people there. And when that city comes down to the earth, there will only be meek people in charge. Only meek people in charge of a city, in charge of an area. Only the meek shall rule. This is different, oh God. So help us. We want to prepare now for that city. We want to be able to rule using your strengths. So guide us today. Bless us this week. Help us to face every challenge to meekness, toward meekness in our lives. Help us to meet it with patience, to meet it with prayer. Help us, O Lord. And we will give you praise, honor, and glory. Prepare us for next week, O God, when we shall delve more deeper into this subject. And pray that no heart, O Lord, will raise a barrier to it. But we will go as deep as you take us, O Lord. Make us willing in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing.
Please turn with me to your hymnals to hymn number 537. 537. He leadeth me. And let's sing the first and last verses, please.